Are you good at texting back?
I could be better.
I've greatly improved in the last 6 months.
What was the hack?
There wasn't a hack. It was just, I don't know what happened. Something, God moved. God did a miracle.
No,
in my life.
Don't blame God. I don't think there's anything spiritual in texting unless it's out of extreme emotion. Like, yeah. Are you good? Are you like?
I text back to the texts that matter.
Are you better at email or better at text?
I'm better at.
I think
I'm better at email. I feel like emails are official. I've got to respond to every email.
I like writing emails.
I just found the feature on my phone where you can make text unread. And so
you go back to it, make sure it's unread. Yeah. The thing about the text back that I find interesting is like, especially on planes or anytime I get some, really some alone time, quiet time, is that I love to go back through my text and see what I've missed. Because, there's stuff you just miss.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so unintentional.
Right.
It's not like you bypassed a good friend or a family member. And I love the apology text. I pour it on. Do you pour it on?
Yes.
I own it.
I can give somebody a good 10 in a row. Oh my gosh. How did I miss this? What was I thinking?
Yeah. Or like,
this is crazy.
I'll go in and I'll find it that I wrote out a line and I just didn't.
This is the story of my life.
Yeah. It's crazy. But like, I, as one that sends a lot of texts and it's not always reciprocated, I appreciate when someone circles back.
I agree.
Circling back without telling people you're circling back is leadership.
What's the longest it can go before it's like, oh, wow.
Well, now
you want something.
I like to hit people. You ever go to text somebody and it's like the last time you're a couple of blue in and there's nothing back?
Yes.
There's a little cringe factor here.
Yeah.
Because I've got like a rule of 2, max 3.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I go to text some people, I'm like, oh.
Nope.
I'm not sending that because
exactly.
We got to have some sort of interaction before. Yeah.
Right.
So I love you, but there's also a little self-respect here.
100%.
But I love texting somebody back and dropping this line. You ever drop this line? How did I miss this other text above?
Yeah.
Because there's the above text.
Oh my gosh, sir,
I missed all of these. I think it's a part of just like washing clean your name and your reputation and going like, I do value other humans and I do value our friendship.
Right.
And so I'm coming back. But there's some people, you look and you see what's coming in and you go, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not, for whatever reason, it's going to stay here.
Yeah.
Maybe it all ends here. Maybe it all goes down. Maybe we're burning the ships tonight.
This is the last text. Delete text.
Yeah. I love going back,
Wait, do you delete texts?
Never.
Mm-mm.
Like I saw someone's phone recently from our team and there was no texts on their thing.
Yeah, I don't.
That's actually like weird and
yeah, that's
scary.
Also called a psychopath. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's wild.
Give me the name after because they shouldn't be employed. You're just erasing your history? Wow, interesting. Okay.
A little sketchy.
Yeah, that's also called sketchy McNasty. But my goodness. But I love a good 3 week later text. Hey, Tim. So sorry. You know I love you. And it was great to meet you at Terry Black's barbecue in Austin. And I am excited that you're going to be visiting L.A. And, boy, those ribs were great. And, we'll save you seats in the 11:30.
This is really good.
Leadership lean in. Let's go.
All right, we just want to take a quick second to shout out one of our sponsors, Overflow. Head on over to overflow.co to book a demo for your organization right now. And really what Overflow is they are reimagining, they're innovating the way that people are able to give to organizations, to give to donate. In fact, 90% of, I just want to get this stat right, over 90% of the world's wealth is held in non-cash assets. However, the majority of donors give using cash or traditional means. And Overflow enables people to give using stock, crypto, digital assets, and they make it easy. In the past, you've had to jump through hoops and ladders. This is a minutes long process. And so if you want to empower the people of your organization or your fundraisers, your donors, your tithers, whatever it is, you got to check out overflow.co and you can book a demo right away. And I'm just going to say this, they have the most incredible support team. If you have any questions, if you have any, if you need help with the technology, whatever it is, their team is on it and here to support you. You got to check out overflow.co to book your demo today.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Leadership Lean In. We are a nation of leaners. Some call us a tribe. Others call us a small town.
A village.
A village.
Yeah.
But we're happy people. First thing you need to know about leaners, all of us are leaders. We are trying our best to get a little bit better. We cannot, it is impossible to promise perfection, but as always, we promise progress. We love you. Hope that you're doing great today. Hope you feel encouraged. Remember, leaders, there are more people that are for you than against you. And let me echo it once again, you're doing better than you think you are. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We are excited to, we dropped an amen. Oh, let's go.
It felt like you're preaching.
Wow. Is that the first ever amen on a leadership lead?
I'm into it. Maybe. No. I guarantee you scrubbed through 134 episodes, correct, today? 131 today. Mm-hmm. There's got to be at least one of the amen. Nonetheless, thank you to everybody that listens. I was just in the great state of Missouri. In fact, I'm going back to Missouri tomorrow morning, and I just have the best time in Missouri. I'm the biggest fan. There's only one place I haven't been yet in Missouri, and that's Kansas City. And I want to go so bad. Don't bring up any pop stars or football players. I want to go to Kansas City, Missouri, because I hear the barbecue is off the charts. Mm. So I'm really, really dead set. I'm a big barbecue guy, hence the Terry Black shout out. In fact, when I got to Springfield, I said, what's the best barbecue in Springfield? I want the best barbecue. Everywhere I go. The reason why I go to Memphis, Tennessee, once to twice a year is the barbecue.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can attest to this. We landed in Memphis, and you said, you can't.
And I just beat my Central barbecue. Stop. If you're listening, you work at Central. I absolutely love Central. I've been a Central guy for probably 8 years. Shout out to Central barbecue. I've got your sauces in my house. However, I've got to say, I found a superior. And that is Elwood barbecue in the Lowe's parking lot in a shed. I found, they took me to Elwood with Christoph was with me. And my God, shout out to Elwood. But I like barbecue. Alabama's got great barbecue.
I imagine.
But they tell me Kansas City, Missouri has some of the best in America. I think Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas has great barbecue. I'm a barbecue. You know who's passionate about barbecue?
Sounds like you.
My little brother, Kyle Beach.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Is an extreme barbecue guy.
Wow.
We went to a barbecue place in Dallas, Texas when we were there for the Gateway Men's Conference. And my brother and my dad came with me. And we go to this barbecue place he knew about. Unbelievable barbecue. And the guy walked by, and I thought my brother saw Michael Jordan.
Oh, my God.
I thought that he saw, I can't resist it, Taylor Swift. I thought that he saw, fill in the blank, it was a reaction.
It was a moment.
He took a photo. Listen, at this point of social media eras. To take a photo with someone is the most endearing sign of respect.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is a sign of I follow, I appreciate, I'm a fan, I have admired. Can I take a photo with you? It's like saying like I respect you.
Yeah. Yep.
He was like, "Can I please take a photo?" So, barbecue's big in our house. Shout out to my little brother. Shout out to Springfield, Missouri. And shout out to the Leaner Nation. My point is, I was just in Missouri, and a lot of people, when I say a lot, let's be accurate, four.
Can I just say this? Let us know your favorite barbecue spot in the comments. I want to know.
I want to know.
Are we off, or is there somewhere better?
And by the way, let's just go to L.A. real fast. Best barbecue in L.A.
Hmm.
What do you think it is?
There's a spot off Lincoln. Oh, man. Baby blue barbecue, I think. Never right been. Across from Whole Foods right there.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly which one.
Yep.
It's good?
It's amazing.
Never been.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big Holy Cow guy. Love Holy Cow. But to my knowledge, Blood Cells is the best.
Yeah. I mean.
That I know of.
It's amazing.
But if there's better in L.A., please tell me. I'll drive. I don't care where. I got to drive. I'll drive to Holland Park.
Wait, is this the review? Is this what we're doing now?
Oh, I'd love to review food.
The barbecue? That's you know, remember what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about, guys, what do you think about this? What if we did a little, like, you know, Dave Portnoy's got the pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keith Lee.
Of course.
My goodness. I'd love to do a food review. These taste buds were made for walking. Mm. I'm telling you right now. And I've got opinions. I got opinions for days.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do barbecue. I don't know. We've thrown around acai. Mm-hmm. A big acai fan. Coffee, of course.
All but the I comments feel like, said coffee.
Coffee, yeah.
Yeah, but the coffee thing is just, I don't feel qualified.
There's so many.
I'm not qualified. I use half and half. I'm not qualified for that stuff. I'm not qualified. Anyways, we're jumping into today's content. Come on. Let's get with the program. Let's jump in. Today we're talking about this riveting topic. Can your team depend on you? Mm. Really what we're talking about today is becoming a dependable leader. Can your team depend on you? How trustworthy are you? I think this is the goal of leadership, that you become someone that everyone around you can rely on. Mm-hmm. That you've built such a foundation, such a fortress of consistent decision making that everyone's just like, I know you're going to show up fresh. You're going to show up with a great idea. You're going to show up with a positive attitude. You're going to show up to the best of your ability, well rested. I know what I'm getting from you. I think people can tolerate consistency, but they cannot tolerate inconsistency. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's about becoming so dependable. There's an old proverb I love. And the proverb basically says this: don't put your trust in an unreliable person. And the writer likens it to like trying to chew on a bad tooth, or trying to walk on a bad ankle. Mm. And we've all had that toothache where you're like, I can only have a smoothie right now. Mm-hmm. And we've all had those, you know, whether you stepped in a pothole or you know, were playing sports or you got a bad ankle and it's just like you're ginger with it. When you're working with someone that's unreliable, I can't put weight on you.
Yeah.
I can't put expectations on you. Mm-hmm. I can't put pressure on you because I don't know what I'm getting from you. And so I think the goal of every leader is to become someone that people know every time I go to you, it's consistent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dependable. Rock solid. Rock steady. And in fact, my dad sent me this great quote from General Schwarzkopf. Yeah, that's right. We're calling 1991 Desert Storm leadership here. Let me pull up this great quote from my dad. I was telling my dad today on the phone, I'm going in to record leadership leading. He goes, what are we talking about? So I told him. He goes, oh, I got a great one. This is from his reading today. He does a Bible reading plan with Nikki Gumbel.
Wow.
And this was in his reading plan. Good leadership. This is the quote. Good leadership is at all times, in all places, in all areas of life. But what is good leadership? Leadership is a potent combination of strategy and character. Hmm. Do I love that? But if you must be without one, be without strategy. These are the words of General Norman Schwarzkopf, commander of the coalition forces in the Gulf of War of 1991. Character is what really matters. It is the only thing that counts in the end. So if you got to choose between strategy and character, choose character.
So good.
And your character is what makes you dependable. Mm-hmm. Your character is what makes people be able to go like, I can go to the bank with you. I know your character. I always like this disclaimer. Some people don't. Some people, you know, got issues with this disclaimer because it's so common. None of us are perfect.
Right. Duh.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
But I like saying this. Right now I'm into this. None of us are perfect. Okay, that's fine. Because I think there's some people that just immediately write themselves out because they're not perfect.
Right.
Right. It's a personality trait. Wait a second.
We're not saying that. No one said.
Yeah.
But you know what gives me credibility? Mess up and own it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last night, my boys, one of them made a mistake. And so I said, what did you do here? And he owned up perfectly. And I said, guys, everybody stop. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I go, guys, we don't take ownership. I want to tell you, in our house, we take extreme ownership.
That's right.
Love that.
So we don't just own and say, this is what we did. We say, I did this. I'm sorry. And I'm going to work my best to not do this again ever. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm trying to teach my boys extreme ownership. So you don't have to be perfect. But if you make a mistake, own it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's that. You have a big old slice of humble pie.
That's right.
That makes you even more dependable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the fact that you're not acknowledging that you're a bad tooth or you're a bad ankle right now in this season, that's what frustrates everybody around you. Become dependable. And I think when you do this, what happens is you'll start to watch the compound of consistency effect play out in your life. It's just the compound. You're good for 1 year. Now you put together 3 years. Now you put together 5 years. Now you hold on. You're a decade of this. Whoa, hold on. 15, 20 years of this. Okay, now you're getting into legacy. Now you're getting into, like, your name holds weight. Your name holds value. Mm-hmm. There's moxie. There's confidence.
Yep.
There's aura. There's presence. There's respect. There's endearment. Why? Because you weren't good for, like, a season. Anybody can put together 3 months. Call me in six. Mm. You can fool me for about four, but 6 months, put 6 months together. And so that, to me, is just dependability. And I've said it 1,000 times on this podcast, and let me reiterate it again. If you respect you, I'll respect you. If you trust you, I'll trust you. Build confidence with you, consistently making the right decision, consistently being. I think the real work of leadership is in the shadows.
Mm, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
It's where nobody is. It's nobody's watching. No, nobody's around. So, you know, it's you and a computer. It's you and a notepad. It's you and a book. It's you and a... in a car, it's you making decisions, and it's like, whoa, I'm building up this. Wow. Yeah. I can chew without even thinking.
Right. I love that passage that you read with the quote, because, you know, I mean, John Maxwell talks about it in 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. There's 21 laws. Not everyone's going to be great in each law. Nobody's perfect, obvious. Staff your weakness.
Yeah.
The one place you can't staff is your character.
There you go.
You can't ask anyone else to jump in.
That's it.
And substitute you for that.
That's right. And if you think about it, what do you really want out of a leader? Brilliant tasks or performance? It's the whole thing. We choose, a lot of times in leadership, we choose talent over character. Mm. Forget strategy. We love talent. Well, in this city,
come on.
We tolerate bad character because you got talent, gifting. Mm. And the problem is that your talent will take you where your character can't keep you.
Mm. Wow.
And what got you on the stage is your gift, but what keeps you on the stage is your character.
That's right.
And so are you dependable? Can your team depend on you? When I leave this office, does my team depend on who I am? Who I am as a father, as a husband, as a person, as a friend, as a neighbor? People have to be able to count on you. And again, This is attention here. This is appropriate expectation, because the more responsibility I have, the less rights I have. The more responsibility I have, the more restrictions I live under. And I think that's a privilege.
Yeah.
I love this message that Julia spoke a couple months ago. Her pressure is a privilege. Mm-hmm. What a brilliant thought. And when she was getting ready for it, it was during the U.S. Open. And there's a sign at Flushing Meadows there, as you're walking out onto the tennis court, and it says, pressure is a privilege.
Wow.
It's a privilege to be on this court and to have this pressure, yep. Which I was thinking of a friend that, you know, an acquaintance that I have, Marty Fish, and there's a Netflix documentary about him being in the finals there at US Open, and he couldn't go out to play in the Open because the pressure was overwhelming. Wow. So he had to forfeit the match.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful story of him overcoming, you know, anxiety and just being paralyzed by it. And that's an extreme case. And shout out to Marty, who is an insane golfer, by the way, and clearly a great tennis player. But I like living from this premise that it is a privilege to have responsibility.
That's right.
It is an honor to have a lot of people depend on on me. You know, yesterday I was talking to this leader, and he's, you know, trying to buy two properties, and he's, you know, got a lot going on, and da da da, and, you know, the assets are going to be worth X, and da da da, and he's like, and I got to take care of these people and these people, and I was like, and then he stopped, and I was like, Oh, no, no. And don't forget all your employees and their kids. He's like, oh, yeah, them. I think the more dependable you are, the greater your influence. To me, it's the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
To whom much has been given, much is what? Required. And so it's a privilege to have a lot of requirements.
That's right.
It's a privilege to have a lot of people depend on you. And I think the more that you apply yourself to the right things in leadership, which is I can only control the controllables. I can only control my decisions. And the more I do that, the easier life gets. Mm-hmm. When it gets hard is when I put expectations on results more than I do myself. And I think it just goes right along. Here's the third and the final thing I'll say today on today's pod. Make yourself consistently available to evaluation. Hmm. Like, I just think that the best leaders I know are so good with pen and paper.
Yeah.
They are so good at this word called reflection. Some people call it meditation. I don't think that you get better just by going round and round, facing the same problems, having Groundhog's Year. I was listening to a great podcast yesterday, and Bill Simmons was talking about his kind of trajectory of, you know, it was inside, you know, I've been listening to Bill Simmons for a long time, but I've never heard him talk about who he was in the 80s and the 90s and graduating school and going to get his master's in journalism, sports journalism. And, you know, he's talking about early days of fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball and blah, blah, blah. And he's just a genius. But he had this great thought when he started Grantland. And this is like around, let's say, 2008, 2009. He had this thought that every year he wanted to do something new so he didn't just, you know, have the same result, same year. And when he said that, I was like, wow, I'm kind of built the same. It's like, I always have to have something else going that we beat last year.
Yeah.
I'm not competing against any person, but I'm consistently competing with last year. Mm. I'm going to beat last year. In every area, I have to be last year. So I can go through all the numbers of that. But I'm not going to post Groundhog's Year. But I also like this idea of trying to start new things and new projects and new, you know, endeavors. And so he was talking about, you know, just having the evaluation ability. And I think when you have that evaluation, okay, this is what we did this year. How are we going to improve it? Go back and look at your life and go, where are the chinks in my armor? Where are the blind spots in my life? What are the things that are going to cost me down the road? How can I really apply myself in this season so that I'm dominant in the next season? Right. Where's my Achilles heel? Where's the things that, like, because I think going back and looking at those little things are the things that you adjust in your leadership at this level. It's kind of like an airplane. No pilot is like making 180s.
Right.
We got to make a 180. There's emergency on here.
Yeah.
It's little course corrections, but you've got to be able to identify those.
Yeah.
And as you identify those, I think people can tell. People get a sense you've grown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like this is what Kobe and MJ did every offseason.
That's right.
You know, they were dominant, and then during the offseason, they developed a new technique, new move brought to the season the next year. And it was like, oh, these guys are...
They added something.
They added that you could tell.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, which the contrast of that is the Joker. I'm watching this guy come back to the Denver Nuggets from...
Yeah.
Where's he from? Slovenia?
Yeah.
Somewhere over there. And they asked him, did he pick up a basketball this whole offseason? He said no. And then he's watching film, and they're like, what are you watching? And he's like, I'm trying to pick out horses to buy.
Stop it.
Yeah, I'd rather be in the Mamba mentality category than the other.
The exception proves the rule.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. But the point that we are making today is that people in your world can trust that you are doing your best to grow, to evolve. I think one of the greatest challenges is to grow with a company, to evolve as it evolves. Think about the new iterations of your world and how it's changed. Can you change? Mm-hmm. I watch certain people get stuck in a group of friends in an iteration of life, in a community, in a mindset, in a phase, and that's their lid for the rest of their life. They never change or evolve. And the demand of growth to me starts with reflection. Mm. Do you know who you are?
Yeah.
Do you know where you're at? Do you know where you're going? Can you see the future or hear the right thought? Can you know what you need to change? Can you sense it? I don't care which way you know, see, hear, feel. It's got to be, I'm growing. And that commitment to growth is what I think people go, I see that they're working. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're working and I'm working, yeah, again, throw out the perfection. I can't promise it, but there's progress here.
That's right.
And so the bad tooth is the inconsistent person that's like, you can't string together like 2-3 months of it.
Yeah.
I can't jump off my, you're like a walking roller coaster. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know which person I'm going to get. Like, you're streaky. It's the whole thought. I'd rather choose, what is his name? Steady Eddie over Sexy Steve. That is the leader that will win the long haul. Mm-hmm. Warren Buffett is driving that old car, living in that same old house, making that same dang long money.
Yeah.
Just consistent. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not flashy. It's not this, that, and the other. It's not wearing his wealth, but he's building his wealth. Compound of consistency.
Did you see the Brock Purdy thing? He's still
splitting rent.
And driving his Toyota.
Yeah. And balling out.
Yeah, but that's
except for this week, he lost to the Browns. But that's beside the point. So my encouragement to you is keep being consistent. Dependability is key. Grow like your life depends on it because it does. Make the appropriate changes that you need to make because it will be worth it in the long haul. You're a leader. Keep going.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.